Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. I'm reading from the book of 2 Corinthians. So you can turn there in your Bibles to follow along as I read chapters 1 through 3 of 2 Corinthians. I will pray, read through these passages, taking some pauses to mention some devotional thoughts that might come to mind, some applicational thoughts at the end, and then I will close in prayer. My encouragement to you is to pay attention to the reading as you listen and or look at your copy of the scriptures, to think about your own learning and what God is trying to teach you and how it can apply to your life today and throughout this week. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that can help to guide us and teach us and help us to know what each of us is to take away from this reading this morning, and how it is to change our lives to be more like your Son. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Pause right there and just think, during these days of crisis and COVID-19, that certainly applies. The comfort that I have from God is a comfort that I can share with others, but it comes from God. Verse 5, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. All right, that's pretty bad. Verse 9, indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. Pause there a moment. Great perspective. I mean, I can't really relate fully with the Apostle Paul and his missionary team at this point, as they are suffering such that they think they might even die. And yet the perspective is, even if they die, God can raise the dead. But if he doesn't, it's okay. This is not about ourselves. We are relying on God's power. Verse 10, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. If that's not an encouragement and an exhortation for us to keep praying for others, especially those who are serving God around the world, and especially in difficult places of persecution, then I don't know what is. Verse 12, now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so, relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace. For we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand. And I hope that, as you have understood us in part, you will come to fully understand that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus. Because I was confident of this, I wanted to visit you first, so that you might benefit twice. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia, and then to have you send me on my way to Judea. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or do I make my plans in a worldly manner so that in the same breath I say both yes, yes, and no, no? But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Well, I have recently been looking at Ephesians chapter 1 that talks about the Holy Spirit being that seal and guarantee. And I forgot that it's also here in 2 Corinthians 1:22. Great reminder, and he's encouraging them with this. Verse 23, I call God as my witness, and I stake my life on it, that it was in order to spare you that I did not return to Corinth. Not that we lorded over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, because it is by faith you stand firm. Chapter 2. So I made up my mind that I would not make another painful visit to you. For if I grieve you, who is left to make me glad but you whom I have grieved? I wrote as I did, so that when I came I would not be distressed by those who would have made me rejoice. I had confidence in all of you that you would all share my joy. For I wrote you out of great distress and anguish of heart, and with many tears, not to grieve you, but to let you know the depth of my love for you. So there may be more letters that he wrote to the church of Corinth, but we certainly know 1 Corinthians, and we know that he was sharing some pretty difficult things with them. Really, the church of Corinth was all messed up, and he was writing to them to try to set them straight, and was going to try to come to them to personally set them straight. Verse 5, if anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent, not to put it too severely. The punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient. Now instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him, so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. He may be talking about an incident of sin that he wrote about in 1 Corinthians, perhaps maybe even 1 Corinthians 5, where they were to do church discipline immediately and take care of that issue. And perhaps now he might be writing about the same person, saying, now it's time to forgive him. Now it's time to bring him in. Perhaps Paul had heard of the work of the Spirit already on this man's life. Another reason, this is verse 9. Another reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there's anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. That makes me think of the idea of forgiveness being that powerful, and that forgiveness derails Satan from what he is trying to do and what he is trying to destroy. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, as those sent from God. Chapter 3. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if that which was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeking the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ it is taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. All right, very interesting. He's at the end here talking about that old covenant, which they would have been familiar with, the old covenant of sacrificial system, the laws which they were trying to obey to be right with God. But in Christ, that is done away with in terms of its effectiveness in having forgiveness for sins. It's all about Christ now. And they need to show that. And they need to show that glory through the way that they live. And it's because of the Lord that is with them in the form even of the Holy Spirit. So that's the end of the reading. So what is it that I'm taking away from this today? Well, the thing that actually sticks out to me and comes to my mind is, as he's writing to these people who really blew it and have had all kinds of problems in their church, Paul is reminding them of how important forgiveness is. Forgiveness for those who have sinned against them. Forgiveness for others. And then in a way, as you forgive those that have sinned against you, I am involved in that forgiveness. And when we forgive, it really hinders the schemes and the plans of Satan, who definitely uses unforgiveness to destroy. So that's one thing certainly that comes across for me, is that I need to continue to forgive those who have sinned against me, which is not always easy. It's never easy, really. But through the power of Christ, who has forgiven me of all, I forgive those who have sinned against me. And those of you who are listening to this right now, as you forgive others, we are forgiving them together, and through forgiveness, Satan's schemes are thwarted. And that's incredible to me. And then the other application for me is just in ministry. I want to serve God faithfully. I want to have a spiritual, eternal impact on other people's lives that then is carried on with them wherever they go as they impact others for the gospel of Christ. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to read it. And thank you for bringing these things to my mind and heart today. I am grateful for your Spirit that lives within me and who, as I'm reminded today, guarantees my salvation. I pray, Lord, that you will help me to have a forgiving heart, to offer forgiveness when others don't deserve it, because that's how you've forgiven me. And that through forgiveness, Father, we might thwart Satan's schemes and his plans to destroy. And Father, please use me in other people's lives. It's not because of anything I can do. It's not my own power, but through you, Father, I want to impact others for your glory, for your kingdom, and that they would then pass that on to impact others in their realm of influence. Thank you for your word, and may you work in all of us today. In Jesus' name, amen.